This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
We have kind of stumbled upon a little segment that Lumberjacks crafted, and it's actually turned out to be a pretty good one. It's been fun for us, and based on some of the reaction we've gotten, fans have enjoyed seeing clips of these games gone past when we get to specific games in a certain week. And we present ourselves with a few here this week. We were talking, obviously, Clemson, Florida State. Everybody knows they've had moments in the past, you know, whether it's the Deion Sanders punt return in the rain in 1988 or if it's, you know, field goals late both ways.
That was really the Punt-Ruski game.
Yeah, the Punt-Ruski game in 88. Yeah. Deion calling for the punt return and then returning the punt.
Right.
But there are other ones too. And we start with Miami and Pittsburgh. It's a 12 noon start on Saturday because why? 4 years ago, a young precocious freshman named Kenny Pickett was thrust into the starting lineup because Max Brown had been the quarterback at Syracuse and gotten hurt in the second half of the ball game at the Dome. So Kenny Pickett's first career start. There's no way Pittsburgh wins this game. Guess what? They took Miami and Coach Rick, bless your heart, right out of the college football playoff, Pat.
Sure did. I mean, Miami was the cool story, man.
And smoked an ACC championship game to bits.
Well, forget that. I mean, that got to be embarrassing. But that game, you're thinking, man, Miami's got the world right where they want them.
Yeah.
Right? The turnover chain was cool. Canes are sitting in the two spot. Going to Pittsburgh, no problems.
Yeah.
Wrong answer. It's kind of the dose of what we've watched all season long this year in college football, that it really doesn't matter what that number is beside your name, you better be ready to play. And Pitt upset Miami.
Sure did.
And it kind of fast-forwards the clock to this weekend where maybe turnabout's fair play. You know, now Pitt's in a great spot, coming off the big win against Clemson, 17th in the country, in control of the Coastal, and maybe Miami goes up and spoils the party this weekend. We'll see how that plays out Saturday. But that was a big deal in 2017 when Pitt shocked everybody.
How about 2 years later, 2019? Kenny Pickett's entrenched as the starter, but my goodness. Nikosi Perry struggled into the ball game. Jaren Williams comes in, and Miami ends up winning in a stunner. A stunner. Osborne scoring on the touchdown. Amazing what happened in the ball game. KJ Osborne with under a minute to go. The Buffalo transfer gives Miami the win 16-12.
These two go back prior to the ACC, right?
I mean, Big East,
They've had some experiences back and forth. Yeah. So, like I said, regarding Saturday coming up, just be careful.
Yeah.
The big three in the league right now need to hold serve.
2015, Miami had fired Al Golden, by the way. Larry Scott is the interim coach. And a 20-point halftime lead for Miami, and then they held on, Pack, to come back and win. Pitt, last gasp. Here's a lateral. No. No chance. Yeah, that's kind of the end of that. Never really moved off the 30-yard line there, did they?
No, and every time I see those highlights, I'm thankful that Pitt has gone back to the old retro colors, right?
Old navy blue you didn't?
No.
Yeah. 29-24, by the way, the final.
Did nothing for me.
Miami a win. Hurricanes. Larry Scott is the interim coach, not the Pac-12, former Pac-12 commissioner. Larry Scott probably remembered more for the Duke fumble game, lateral game.
Everybody in the ACC corporate office in terms of officiating just cringed when you mentioned that.
He was the interim coach. That was anyway.
That's one of the all-timers. of any game in
anywhere.
Any sport ever.
Yeah.
Was the Duke-Miami game at Wallace Wade
Outdoor. Virginia Tech and Georgia Tech have had some moments.
New Tech, old Tech.
Yeah. We're going to show one of the best ones here in a moment. 2015, the Hokies rally from 14 down to win 23-21. Georgia Tech wearing the blues. Frank Beamer announced his retirement week prior. Once mighty Hokies, mired in another tough season. Georgia Tech fumbled it away on two straight possessions. Virginia Tech grabs the lead. Isaiah Ford, the game winner. Hokies win 23-21.
You know, I love watching the old footage. Not that this is really old because it wasn't that long ago.
6 years ago, Pat.
Right, I get it. But, man, those unis stink.
Which ones?
Virginia Tech's.
Oh, okay.
I like Georgia Tech's combos. But
yeah.
That Hokie combo right there is just not getting it.
Let me put you in the Wayback Machine a little bit, kids. Let's go 12 years.
No, we're really going far back.
Saturday night. Oh, this is early in the game. This is way early in the game. Virginia Tech hitting that defense. Here we go. Game winner. There's 20 on the perimeter. Watch the block right on the corner. Tyler Melton frees him up. Josh Nesbitt, game winner. Jackets beat a top five Virginia Tech team on a Saturday night under the lights. Fourth-ranked Hokies fall 28-23.
The Jackets.
Post-game show lasted till about 3 in the morning that night.
That's good.
The one off the radio.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Serve you right.
Yeah.
Every now and then you need to do that. Just get out of your system. But the Jackets have had some magic moments at night now against teams with a number beside it.
I don't know.
There have been a few of those.
By the way, I don't know if we can run the clip one more time here. I want to show you Big 20 getting, 20.
Who's 20?
Roddy Jones.
Oh, for crying out loud.
What do you mean? We're going to see Roddy Jones. Now, and it's not this play, obviously, because he was on offense. Watch Nesbitt take off. This is Tyrod. He gets sacked. Here's Jason Peters. Here's Roddy, 20. Up, up. No, Nesbitt's keeping Roddy. He wasn't pitching to you. There you go. Round the corner and in. Touchdown, Georgia Tech.
You get your Roddy fix there?
Just helping out my partner.
Okay.
How about Duke and Wake Forest? They've had some moments.
They have?
Oh, yeah.
Give me one.
2006.
You going Riley Skinner on me?
No. Skinner.
What are you doing?
Skinner was kind of in the mix here, but really, Skinner threw for 235 and a score in his first start for the Deacons.
Well, there you go. I just said Riley Skinner. You said no.
But Thaddeus Lewis threw for 305. But guess what happened?
Yeah, Wake won a championship.
Duke had a chance to win the game.
That means they lost.
Duke had a chance to win the game. Joe Sergin lines up from 28 yards to kick a field goal.
And?
Chip Vaughn blocked it.
And?
Wake won the game. And
Riley Skinner walks off
and
victorious.
And the carpet ride started for Jim Grove.
What did I just say? Riley Skinner. You said, no. Wait a minute. It is about
Riley
Skinner.
Riley had a nice game. It was his first start.
Is Riley Skinner not part of the team here?
Yeah. Of course, he was later the ACC Rookie of the Year.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right. Just asking.
2008.
We saw a lot of love for Roddy, none for Riley Skinner.
Well, getting some for Riley. Roddy Skinner knows he's a man.
Won a championship.
That's it. 2008, 2 years later. Shane Popham kicked a 28-yard field goal. Alfonso Smith intercepted Thad Lewis at the goal line. Wake 33, Duke 30.
What's Durant go for this weekend? Given the fact that Wake hasn't tackled a guy with the ball for 2 weeks, they've given up 64 first downs, and you mentioned 770-some-odd yards rushing. What does Durant go for Saturday? Did he go for $150?
I don't know. No? I don't know if he'll get to 150.
Wouldn't you give him the ball 40 times?
Oh, he's carried it 30 plus.
Well, he's carried it 40-something against He set an all-time record. That was one of our best of the weekends a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you not give him the ball 45 times and say, hey, Mateo, let's go?
Dave Clawson talked about they recruited Mateo Durant. They wanted Mateo Durant big time.
Well, he can play for anybody. So wouldn't you give him the ball 40 times?
Sure,
against
I would,
Wake?
But
given
I don't.
The fact that Wake hadn't tackled anybody with the ball yet? Running it?
See, but it's always not that simplistic.
Oh, I'm sorry. What, is that just too obvious? You have a great back and a team that hasn't stopped the run? Why am I an idiot?
You know what I mean.
I'd give him the ball 45 times until he just says, I can't go anymore.
45?
Why not?
Okay. We'll see what
running
happens.
Backs like to touch the rock, man.
When I get Coach Clawson tomorrow in our production call, I'll ask. Hey, Pack thinks you ought to just give it to Mateo Durant 45 times.
Not to Clawson. I'd say that to
– I mean, to a Cutcliffe.
Yeah, but Clawson's going to go, I'd love to have him on my team.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is I'm sure Coach Hempel, the defensive coordinator at Wake Forest, knows Mateo Durant's going to get it too.
Well, he also knew Army was going to run the ball, and they ran for 400-and-something yards against him. Scored 56. Again, I said 60. Wake Forest. I said this yesterday. Nobody's given me the answer to this yet. Has anybody in the history of college football – going back-to-back weeks and giving up 64 first downs and won both games. Let that marinate a second.
64
first downs. Wes.
It's crazy. crazy.
If you get 25 first downs in a game, it's like, wow, we really executed.
Crazy.
Yeah. How about giving up 64, 30 in back-to-back?
Right.
33-31 is what they've given up,
it's
back-to-back
nuts.
Weeks.
Right?
I mean, the world's upside down.
Yeah. Let me give you Virginia BYU here before we get to the break. Since they play Saturday night in Provo at Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
That's a good game, man.
That's a really good game. They're meeting for the first time since 2014 when Bronco Mendenhall was the head coach at BYU. And in the game, UVA has won three times. In the UVA's three wins, the margin of victory has never been higher than five. 1999, George Wells won a showdown with Lavelle Edwards, 45-40. Thomas Jones, now an actor, ran for 210 yards. Dan Ellis, there's a Cavalier name from the past, threw for 190 and three scores, 45-40 Cavaliers are winners, right? Jerton Evans, by the way, the game-saving pick or game-sealing interception. 2013, Mike London takes the Cavaliers to a win against BYU. Kevin Parks, a touchdown. Virginia wins 19-16 in the rain. How about that? A little lateral.
I love this game. The fact that you got Bronco Mendenhall going back for his homecoming. You heard Tom Luganville talk about it. Provo is a tough place to play.
Yeah, it is.
And BYU likes to line up and run the football. Virginia better figure that out ASAP. Mm-hmm. And Brennan Armstrong and all these offensive weapons, I mean – I said this the other day. To me, this game is flying underneath the national radar because there's some humongous national games in terms of, you know, the college football playoff implications and so forth.
Right.
But this may be as entertaining a game as you're going to watch this weekend, mm-hmm. is BYU and UVA.
Yep.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Doing all right?
Yeah, I had a tweet that I was just looking at a second ago from Ronnie Lindsay. He said, Pack, I love my Wake Forest Demon Deeks. Very proud of Coach Clawson and the Swiss and what they've accomplished this year. Hmm. Always remember, the Swiss guards protect the Pope.
Great. Okay.
You learn something new every day
every
on this
day.
Show.
Every right? day.
Did you know?
That's it.
There's your bar bet. Swiss guards and the Pope.
Best games in the series, part two. BC's at Syracuse this week. Kickoff at 3:30. Teams first met 1924. They played every year from 71 to 2004. Syracuse is BC's second most common opponent behind only Holy Cross.
Old school. Big East love fest here.
Let's roll the video from 2004, kids. Do I hear Diamond Ferry? Yeah, you do. Left side, touchdown orange. And how about this? Syracuse, 43-17, 2004. By the way, it's BC's last year in the Big East. How about that? Diamond Ferry was the man.
Well, and you knew.
144-2 that day.
You knew that with the voice of multiple victories. One of the smart guys, the Lumberjacks up there. You knew we'd have a ton of Syracuse highlights here.
Yeah.
You know our list to go through games is about 20 deep with Syracuse games here.
Yeah.
And amazingly, Syracuse won every single one of them.
Well, except the one we're getting ready to show.
Well, we got to balance it out.
because we had
20 W's for Syracuse and the one BC highlight.
1999, BC won 24-23. At the artist formerly known as the Carrier Dome, DeJuan Daniels started the game with this kickoff return. Touchdown, Boston College. Look how clean the turf looks,
by the way. Yeah.
That is Tim Hasselbeck in the end zone, kids.
I've heard of him.
There he is.
Whatever happened to him?
He's tomorrow at 9. Maybe we run that clip for Tim tomorrow, huh?
Yeah.
So
I saw, you know what I saw on that play? I saw people actually blocking
in
that play. Unlike that thing you were talking about, Roddy doing the whiff out there on the perimeter. The guy's really blocking on that play.
24-23, the final. How about Louisville and NC State? There have been some unbelievable games.
Louisville has really kind of dominated this series.
Well, but 2015, Lamar Jackson, Cardinals had a big day. They beat NC State 20-13. Lamar ran and threw for touchdowns.
Surprise.
By the way, kept Louisville from starting 0-2 in the ACC. 2011, let's go get the videotape from 2011, can we? NC State survives a special teams gaffe. Yeah, it is. Uptown Charlotte. Oh, my.
You know what I remember about the Belk Bowl?
What's that?
Remember the guy? Remember everybody that would play in the Belk Bowl would get like a certificate to go shop at Belk's?
Oh, no. You're going to talk about Arkansas, aren't
Arkansas
you?
Comes into town to play the Hokies, and a guy from Arkansas who's got a gift certificate at Belk's shoplifts. I'm thinking, what are we doing? What are we doing?
It's a nice picture.
Welcome to our town. That's here a in nice Charlotte. Picture. What are you whining about over there?
I can't believe we end up on this.
What do you mean?
We rolled Belk Bowl heights of NC State and Louisville, and you went Arkansas on me.
The first thing I think of when I hear Belk Bowl has nothing to do with NC State and Louisville.
I know.
The first thing that pops in my head is Virginia Tech's playing Arkansas. The Hogs, by the way, were up by like 60 at halftime and lost. Mm-hmm. Remember?
Yeah.
But the dude from Arkansas gets a gift certificate, goes to South Park Mall right down the street here, and shoplifts. What are we doing?
Mike Glennon, by the way, 264 yards and 3 touchdowns. T.J.
No
Graham.
You are
TJ
such
Graham.
A stick in the mud.
T.J. Graham,
you
by
are
the way.
Such a stick in the mud. Gosh.
His final game with the Wolfpack.
Tell us about that highlight. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm talking about
T.J. Graham, 7 for 116, including a 65-yarder. So, there you go. And Arkansas had problems when they were in town.
God.
Oh, my goodness.
The Belk Bowl.
Oh, my goodness.
I got to be honest with you. I'm glad that thing's over, the Belk Bowl. That never even sounded good.
Is that right?
For me.
Okay.
I know my wife shops there all the time.
Uh-huh. There you go. Well,
but it just never rolled off the tongue. We're going to the Belk Bowl. Yeah. That just never sounded right.
Before we roll video of North Carolina Notre Dame, let me tell you about the 70s of Carolina Notre Dame.
Oh,
games.
You want to talk about that, but not the guy shoplifting with
a free
gift certificate.
It has nothing to do with us. has nothing to do with this.
Can we show Roddy attempting to tackle somebody
no,
again?
No.
That was exciting.
Carolina Notre Dame played in the 70s, and the only historical note is in 76. When Joe Montana, who was known as Captain Comeback, his first ever comeback, college or pro, was in Chapel Hill.
It's true.
Came from behind, guided Notre Dame and Dan Devine to a win over North Carolina and Mike Voigt, our fine running back Mike Voigt, at Kenan Stadium. That kind of sets it. Notre Dame and Carolina have a history. It goes back to the 40s, Charlie Justice. Carolina, the Snavely teams.
The history of North Carolina seldom beating Notre Dame.
Well, there's that too, but we're going to show you one here.
The Heels are 0-12 all time in South Bend. They've beaten them twice since Dirt.
Both in Chapel Hill.
Right.
Yeah.
It would make sense if they're 0-12.
Even Yankee Stadium they lost when they played there.
Yeah.
2008 is what Packer's referring to. Cam Sexton guides the Tar Heels to a win, 29-24. They're number 22 in the country. Carolina gets some big plays on defense. Quan Sturdivant, and look here is Sexton, into the end zone. Touchdown, Carolina. I like those jerseys, don't you?
I was just getting ready to say, those look like Carolina jerseys to me.
Yep.
Without even seeing, if you just walked briefly, looked up at the screen and kept walking, you go, well, that was North Carolina highlights.
All right. Florida State Clemson's next.
That's all we're going to show? The North Carolina?
That's the only one.
That's what you got for
Yeah,
me?
We don't have the one in the rain from a couple of years ago.
Okay.
But, so Florida State Clemson. Florida State leads the all-time series 20-13.
Right.
Tigers have won 5 in a row in the series.
Right.
2014, Carlos Williams, 12-yard run in overtime. This game may be more remembered for you need to go get out of those
Son,
pads.
Son, why are you dressed up?
Why are you dressed?
You are suspended for this game.
Yeah. Touchdown, Florida State.
Tigers had a chance to ice it late. Fumbled.
Yeah, boy.
Right. Had a fumble
and
late.
Here's Carlos Williams.
And game, set, match, Florida State in OT. Wins this game.
Sure do.
Wasn't the best game, though, I've seen.
Nope.
Between these two, though.
Nope.
In my opinion.
How about 2016?
That was a good game.
Clemson rallies. Number 3 in the country. 37-34 the final. They win over number 12. Wayne Gallman. Now a Falcon, by the way. Playing at home. DeAndre Francois sacked.
Dalvin Cook, any good this night?
Whoa.
Dalvin Cook was so fantastic. There's Hunter Renfrow.
By the way, play eerily similar to the one that beat Alabama.
Sure was. This was a on the road to a national championship. And the two games that popped to me in this series, because I've seen a bunch of them, is the Punt-Ruski game in 88.
Hmm.
And again, Florida State was not an ACC member at the time.
That's right.
But one of the best football games I've ever seen. And the late, great Bobby Bowden with one of the all-time calls with the Punt-Ruski play. One of the all-timers.
Funny you should say that.
And the 16 game that you just saw. Those were just two phenomenal football games.
24-21 on a Saturday afternoon. Rainy Saturday afternoon. Yep. Frank Howard Field Memorial Stadium. Did anybody say Leroy Butler?
The Butler did it. What a play. Gosh, what a game. Youngster ran around in front of me.
Here it is. Student section taunting Dion. He runs over there and says, watch me.
Student section, he looked at the sideline and said, boys, y'all really going to punt to me?
Look
seriously,
at this.
You going to punt to me? I'm taking this one to the house.
Yep. What are they throwing? Did. They don't throw things at Clemson. They don't do everywhere. That at Clemson.
I remember I had buddies when Clemson and South Carolina played years ago, and South Carolina was going through their winless season. I had buddies, embarrassingly say, they were throwing zero candy bars on the field.
Zero.
I mean, Tennessee.
This is way after you finished school, wasn't it?
Yes, unfortunately.
Way after.
Yeah, way after.
Like, not that long ago after.
15 years ago. 15 years after I graduated.
Were those the little bars or the big ones?
Big bars. They wanted to make sure you could see the word zero, as in that's how many wins y'all got.
Oh.
So if you think it happens just at Tennessee, as I said before, That nonsense has to get cut out. There is no place for it. None. Zero. Zero place for it in college athletics, pro game,
so,
anything else.
Let me just make sure you're on record as the Punt-Ruski game being one of the three or four top five pack games ever.
Games that I have attended?
Yes.
That's in my top five.
10-8 in Chapel Hill right there too?
I wasn't at that game.
Oh, you weren't? Okay.
Not in person.
I was at that game.
There you go.
Yeah.
You knew somebody.
That was a great game.
Yes, it was. Fantastic.
Phenomenal game.
Yep.
So the Punt-Ruski game, the Louisville-Clemson game.
I wasn't there in person for that game either.
You didn't make that one?
No.
What happened there?
I was upstairs working. Yep. I don't get out. I'll be honest with you. I don't, you know, the Southern Fried Football Tour, I was going every weekend somewhere in the Southeast.
Yeah.
For 12 years or whatever we did it on the FNZ.
But
I don't get out very often. I'm going to my first football game this weekend that I'm excited about. I'm excited to tailgate, see the people.
SO Club.
I'll make an appearance at the SO Club.
Sure.
There'll be a beverage or three,
mm-hmm.
and we'll go watch a football game.
Very quickly, we'll show one day the caricature of the Southern Fried Football Tour. One day we'll also have Packer tell the story about the RV that they had for the Southern Fried Football
Team. Phenomenal.
And that back in the day, one of the guys helping pack with that RV tried to take it through a car wash.
Yeah, we did. The funny thing, you know, remember, we were talking about Clemson, Florida State.
Yeah.
There was one year we took the Southern Fried Football Tour to Tallahassee.
Yeah.
And we drive all the way down there, and the guy that was driving it was a former military guy, flew helicopters. And the RV broke down on the side of the road about an hour outside of Tallahassee. We've been traveling all day. You can't make great time in those RVs, but, man, you can have a good time. You just can't make great time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, for crying out loud, the game was a nighttime game, and this was when Tommy Bowden was coaching at Clemson. Bobby was rocking at Florida State. Both teams ranked in the top 10. And it was the night that Winkie does the all-time great
play fakes
in the end zone. Mm-hmm. So we're stranded with the Southern Fried Football Tour an hour outside. And the guy driving the RV.
Lots around an hour outside of Tallahassee.
Let me tell you what. The guy goes, Pack, I can fix it. I said, well, dang, go for it, man. We're in no man's land.
Yeah.
And he got under the hood, former helicopter guy. Got that thing started. We went to the ball game. Never missed a beat.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Giants tumbler looks good.
Yeah. Always looks good.
Pulling for the old National League tonight, are you?
Yes, I am.
I figured you were.
Anybody who can beat a manager that's known for his days with the Dodgers, let him lose.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Eric McClain yesterday was talking about Florida State putting together one of the best stretches in recent memory. So we're trying to go back and kind of piece all that together today. And a four-game winning streak immediately following a four-game losing streak in the same season. In ACC history, it has only been done 8 times. Most recent was Virginia a year ago.
Right.
Miami in 16, North Carolina 13, Boston College 10. Funny how it's happened a lot more in this century and only twice before.
Well, now keep in mind, what Florida State's doing is a little different because they lost the first four. This is just a four-game losing streak followed by, hey, we flipped the switch and we went on a roll. Still doesn't happen very often, but it's happened a little more recently, like you said, 2016 and 13 and 10. You had 4 times here basically in the last decade.
By the way, Miami in 16, Carolina 13, BC 10, NC State 08 were all conference games. They did it against.
Yeah.
And Florida State won't fall in that category. They beat UMass last week.
Right. But still, I mean, when things start going haywire and there's huge expectations on a team like Florida State at 0-4, and especially that fourth loss was at home to Louisville, in which they're down 31-7.
Right.
Right out of the gate, and you're thinking, yikes, this is ugly. Where is this thing going? I said earlier, I give Mike Norvell and these players a ton of credit. Because it's hard in midstream to go, guess what? Things are going to be okay. We just need a break.
Yeah.
And as soon as they get that first win, Wes, off to the races. Mm-hmm. Here they go. And so that's why that game Saturday in the Valley against Clemson, who's obviously kind of struggling, still looking for any kind of answer on offense, I think makes for a tight, close game.
Yeah.
I really do.
There are a couple of areas in the first four to the last three that have really changed kind of the dynamic of what Florida State was. Number one is turnover margin. -7 the first four, +2 in the last three. The biggest in my mind is penalties, and it's not even close.
Well, those next two, sacks allowed and penalties, tremendous. And I mentioned earlier, too, Florida State's defensively has done an outstanding job when teams get into their red zone, where you say, listen, let's get out of here without giving up any points or just holding them to a field goal. I mean, all that's got to come into play to win games.
Right.
You have to do it, and Florida State has.
They're also running the ball.
No question.
Like crazy. And, by the way, they haven't allowed a fourth down conversion in 6 tries.
Doing a lot of things right is what Florida State's doing.
And, again, I said this in hour one, and I'll go back to it here. There had to be some patience involved, right? The move was too big. It had dipped too far. To not say, okay, we got to slow down here and let this guy come in here and kind of get things set. And I told in hour one about a conversation I had with a former ACC coach this week who's watching a lot of football and says, you know, you got to give them credit. You also got to give them time. And, yeah, some details have worked out their way on certain things. But you look at turnovers, you look at penalties, you look at stop rate, which is an analytic about not allowing points on drives. I mean, the scary part about this is they get Clemson on Saturday, and this is not beyond a thought now. I mean, because Clemson's struggling offensively, and Florida State's pretty good on defense.
Well, when you can't score, and Clemson's yet to crack 20 points on anybody with a pulse, every game's close, right? When you just simply can't score, even if you, hey, we're better than them, yeah, maybe, but it's going to be a one-possession game.
Right.
Right? So if you can't ever pull away, Wes – I mean, every game, every time you have the ball, the possession, hey, you better not turn it over or else, especially if the other team is opportunistic, playing with confidence, and feels good about what they're doing. Florida State feels good about what they're doing on the defensive side. You talk about the stop rate.
Right.
They're running the football. They're not creating any issues for their quarterbacks in terms of he's on his back or running for his life. Jordan Travis has been good.
Right.
I think if you're a Florida State fan, you go into this game this weekend thinking, why not? Why can't we go in there and win that game? I don't care what Vegas says. We're playing better football than those guys.
They are trying to become the first ACC team since Wake Forest in 1967 to win 4 consecutive games after losing their first 4. Wake did it in 1967. They actually won their last four after starting the season 0-6 for Bill Tate back in 1967. So we'll keep an eye on the Noles this weekend at Clemson. That's a really interesting game.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, it always has been because it's normally been for supremacy in the Atlantic for the first time in a long, long time. And keep in mind, I mentioned this earlier, Florida State or Clemson, they've won the last 10 ACC football championships. It's either been the Tigers or the Noles.
Yeah.
A or B. Everybody else, y'all playing for third,
right?
Quite frankly, because these two teams have basically dominated the conference in a run. The last time we had an ACC championship game that did not have either Clemson or Florida State in it is 2008. Again, this is how far back we're going without the Tigers or the Noles being a part of the very, very top. Feels like that's going to be the case again. Again, Clemson's still got an outside shot, but, man, they got to win out. They got to prove they can score, beat somebody, and then they're going to need a lot of help to get there. So just kind of feels very different, but yet there's still a lot at stake when these two get together.
No, no doubt about that. Also a nice pivot for us to talk about the Deacons and Blue Devils, who meet on Saturday afternoon here on ACC Network. David Cutcliffe's team says coming off a bye week, no extra need for motivation this week when you see the Deacs.
They're very aware, and that should be more motivation, like you're saying. That should create a lot of energy. It's a huge challenge. But with huge challenges come huge opportunities. And Wake's not going to give you anything. What it means is you're going to have to go get it done. And I hope that's the impact it has on our team. Don't sit back and wait on anybody to give you anything. You have to go get the job done.
Didn't recognize David Cutcliffe without the blazer. That's the first time I think he's gone sweatshirt illness this year in conference cut.
Yeah.
Give the ball to Durant and don't make this hard. Just let him run till Wake can stop it.
Okay. There we go. Dave Clawson, by the way, his offense coming off 70 at West Point.
In 17 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Think about that for a little bit, right?
That's one of the most remarkable stats I've ever seen in college football history. You scored 70 points, time of possession, 17 minutes. You do the math. Wes, you do the math.
Nope.
It's crazy. I mean,
not
just
really
let
interested.
That marinate a second.
Yeah.
You're going to get the ball for 17 minutes today. What do you think you can do? Oh, for crying out loud. Yeah. Oh, 17 minutes, we can't do anything.
70,
we're lucky to score 20. How about 70?
4 point, what? Is that right?
By the way, without even doing this off the top of my head.
4.1 points per minute.
Did Wake Forest Saturday, I know they had a pick six because Red was part of our wide receiver.
Trayvon Red, right.
So did they? That means they had 9 offensive touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Has Clemson had 9 offensive touchdowns this season against football bowl subdivision teams? This is just one off the top of the head.
We're going to send that to stats and info. We'll get an answer for you in a moment.
So Wake Forest basically in 17 minutes saw the end zone probably as often as Clemson has seen the end zone the entire season.
Right.
Let that marinate a second. Again, I don't even know what Clemson's number is, but it can't be much.
Okay.
I mean, they're only scoring 17, 18 a game, whatever it is.
Let's move to Coach Clawson.
All right, go ahead.
Because while everybody's enamored with his offense, he offered a very interesting comparison to where Duke is defensively right now.
Defensively, they're always tough. They play a style of defense that they challenge you. You know, it's a lot of breathalyzer man. They're right in your face. They don't give you any freebies. They've been really good in the secondary. How many guys did they have drafted last year in the secondary? You know, I think at least 2 guys. And they've got a bunch of guys this year, again, that I think will be pro football players.
Breathalyzer man.
What was that?
Means they're up on you defensively.
I don't think we've ever had a breathalyzer man reference on Coach's
get back. We're going to have to refresh that one, aren't we, next time Clawson joins us?
Breathalyzer man?
Yeah.
I sense Tom Luganville has a new character for Sunday night. Breathalyzer man in Halloween.
No, breathalyzer man-to-man defense.
Yeah, but I'm going different than that.
I know you are. Yeah. Okay.
By the way, Brooks just yelled in my ear, 17 touchdowns for Clemson. I said against football bowl subdivision team. That doesn't include South Carolina State. They scored 7. What did they score against? 49? That's 7? 10 touchdowns? I'm close.
They had 7 against South Carolina State.
I just said that.
Right, yeah.
Is there like an invisible field here?
No, I got it in my
here?
Ear, too. They oh. told me 7 against South Carolina. Yeah. You're right.
So that means Clemson scored 10 touchdowns against Football Bowl Central Division.
And Wake had Forest 9 against
had
Army.
9 in 17 minutes against Army. What are we doing?
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
The Orange Bowl, built in 1937, where literally Super Bowl II, III, V, X, XIII all played on that field. All the Hall of Famers have played on the same grass.
It was called Burdine Stadium back in the 20s or the 30s. And it was like in a little erector set. And as town got bigger, the stadium got bigger, eventually, you know, its biggest capacity was 80,010.
You know, you see South Beach, you see the palm trees, you see the pretty girls and the fancy cars. No, that wasn't the Orange Bowl. The Orange Bowl was old. You know, we had wooden seats. It's that type of environment to where you don't know if your car is gonna be there when you come back. You're coming into this beat down, hot, hostile environment.
It obviously wasn't the Taj Mahal for some fans with bathrooms and there wasn't skyboxes, but man, that old metal stadium, the noise would reverberate, and it was by far the loudest stadium in the country.
This is what you work for all this time. We got 75,000, there's one in every seat, and they came here to see Hurricane football. Get after them on offense. Let's go like a bunch of crazy men and play some games. Hold up.
Orange Bowl Stadium was an amazing place to be. The fans were just right on top of you. The noise was right there.
Touchdowns would make that stadium shake and vibrate. It was just an avalanche of noise.
Frank Gore, touchdown! Play anyway!
You couldn't hear. You couldn't talk on our sidelines, two guys, and you're 3 feet away from them. You had to scream at them. They were relentless.
When you came to the OB, it wasn't a matter if we would win or lose. It was how bad would we beat them.
This field, where they have been nearly unbeatable. In fact, they have been unbeatable here.
We had 9 years that we did not lose a home game, 58 games in a row. It's a home record, still exists right now.
Orange Bowl booter, baby!
You would go to the Orange Bowl for almost a decade. For 58 times, you would go, and you'd leave smiling.
There's definitely a reputation about that Orange Bowl, and unfortunately, it's no longer there. One special, decrepit cemetery of a place that any other team coming into town knew, whether it was their horrible locker room or their horrible experience that they're going to have on that football field, that they were going to be going home very sore.
There's some, by the way, there's some characters in that clip right there now. I mean, some major characters.
One of my all-time favorite stadiums. And it, I mean, it had its own life. And the quote about, hey, you park your car there.
Oh, it's never been more true than that.
Spot on. You pay $20, you'd be parking in somebody's yard. You'd be like, is it going to be safe? Oh, yeah. You're like, man, I just hope it's here when I come back. But, man, that stadium, it, I mean, you walk through the tunnel. I don't care where you were, upper deck, lower deck, didn't matter. You could feel a life when you walked in there. It did. It had its own vibe. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the all-time great home field advantages. It didn't matter if you're going there for a Canes game, a Dolphins game. I saw Clemson beat Nebraska for a national championship there. Man, I hate that it's gone. I really do. And every time I watch a Marlins baseball game, I get sick because it's right there. Mm-hmm. And you're like,
oh, it
man,
is. What so it's right there.
It's right there. And the Liberty Orange Bowl City, right? was so awesome. It was just a great dump.
It was. Oh, yeah. I've told the story. Folks ask all the time, the most bizarre place you broadcast the game from, a fiberglass plastic box with a window AC unit on top of the Orange Bowl. Because they didn't have any space in the press area. When you heard the clip about no suites, none of the amenities you've come to expect in stadiums, none of that. None. Zero. I mean, and for those reasons and more is why they got away from the Orange Bowl. It was going to be more expensive to renovate the Orange Bowl than to move up the road to Miami Gardens. And when they moved, and you hear this a lot, okay, but there is something to this. Very few times since they've moved up the road have they been able to take the OB atmosphere with them.
No. Yeah, you know, I was,
Notre Dame would be the night you saw the Notre Dame game.
I was at that game.
That was probably as close, right?
Yeah, and because it was Notre Dame and Miami treated them that night like it was the old Canes.
Right.
I mean, they ran Notre Dame out of the building.
Right.
And it rocked. But there was nothing like the Orange Bowl now. I mean, I've told the story, I know, on the air before. Bunch of buddies, because I used to live down there, and we rented a van and took out all the seats in the van,
yep,
so we could get a few more coolers. And we parked right there in a lousy neighborhood right beside the stadium. And I remember drinking Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch, and the Clydesdales were there for the game, and they were coming up the street that we parked. And I remember looking at the Budweiser going, God, I have had too many of these. I could swear the Clydesdales are coming up the street. And the Clydesdales were literally coming up the street. But it was unlike anything, man. That place, like I said, it felt like a being when you got in there. And it rocked and it shook, just like Gino was talking about. The noise was great and it had terrible amenities, but you didn't care. You were there for football. And, oh, by the way, the Canes were great. I mean, you had the perfect combination. It was a pit. It was sold out. It was loud. And the team you were playing was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great combination.
Well, and DBJ just hit it on the clip. You went to home games there for almost a decade. You never saw them lose.
Yeah, it wasn't a matter of winning or losing. It was
58 in a row.
Yeah, we're here to wear you out. And crazy. They enjoyed it too now.
Oh!
They would love to wear you out.
Look at the scores.
Such a great place to watch a game.
Just nuts. So that's ACC Traditions. Later tonight on ACC Network, you'll enjoy that. It's the Orange Bowl. Spectacular stories. Burdine Stadium, built, by the way, by the city of Miami Parks and Recreation Department, which is why across the facade it said the city of Miami
welcomes you
to the Orange Bowl. Yeah. Wonder what happened to that sign. Somebody's got that.
I don't know. I think they just tore the whole thing down. It makes me sad that that's not here anymore.
Yeah.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.